From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. People are being moved out of Yosemite Valley and Wawona right now because of the nearby Ferguson fire. In about 3 hours, the national park will be closed to the public. We're going to get updates from CAP Radio reporters Bob Moffat and Ezra Romero. But first, the latest from CAL FIRE. On the phone is Deputy Communications Director Mike Moeller. And Chief Moeller, thanks for taking time again to be with us on Insight.
Beth, thank you so much for having us.
Will you explain what's happening with the Ferguson fire, which started on July 13th?
Well, right now, the fire is at 38,522 acres, 25% containment. Unfortunately, the fire continues to grow just with what we're seeing with weather and fuel conditions. And we still have, you know, several communities that are threatened, including the park, which will be closed.
Mariposa County officials are concerned about the level of smoke and initiated this decision. What is CAL FIRE's role in the decision to close the park? And tell me about the smoke in this fire.
Well, we work, CAL FIRE, the county, and also the National Park Services. We work very closely together with our federal partners. We make the recommendation on the threat level. We let the National Park Service review that threat level, and at that point, they make the ultimate decision with input, again, from CAL FIRE, Mariposa County, and the incident to make the decision to close the park. And it really is, one, air quality, but two, for public safety.
Is this a smokier fire than usual, or does this have to do more with wind direction and the valley?
Well, actually, all of those. I mean, it's producing smoke. Like, we've had several fires, unfortunately, out in this area. But with the type of weather that we're experiencing right now, where the smoke is really settling into the valleys, where we have no wind to actually lift it, we're seeing it staying, you know, throughout the morning into the afternoon before we actually get any type of clearance. But it really is. And again, the topography, you're looking at drainages, valleys where the smoke settles into it. It makes it very difficult for it to actually lift and come out of that area.
Tell me where the fire lines are right now in connection with the park itself and about that firefight on the front lines.
Well, it's within a few miles of the park. It's still moving towards it. We still have road closures off of State Route 140. But again, weather's playing a major factor. And as you well know, we are going into heat advisories for the next several days, which increases fire activity. So unfortunately, you combine the weather, the topography, and what we're seeing right now, it's just a very, very difficult firefight.
What tools can't you use? You have some biggies in the arsenal, including the air tanker. Air drops of retardant are common. Because of the terrain, is anything ruled out at this point?
Well, unfortunately, going back to when we talk about the smoke conditions, when we have smoke levels like that where it settles into these valleys, aircraft, unfortunately, are ineffective because we cannot get in there to use them. And that's not only our fixed-wing air tankers, but also our helicopters. That becomes a safety issue and also visibility. So what we've been seeing is the smoke will start to lift midday into the afternoons is where we can actually hit it hard with aircraft. But the smoke conditions are really, really hampering the use of air assets.
This is one of many fires in the state, obviously, Chief, and every fire is critical. But besides the Ferguson fire, what others are of most concern today?
Well, right now we have what's called the Carr Fire. That's in Shasta County. It's over 4,500 acres. It's into timber. We're seeing extreme fire behavior. And for your listeners, when we say extreme fire behavior in timber, it means crowning. Really, the tops of the trees are is a running fire, very dangerous fire. And again, that's in Whiskey Town National Park up in Shasta County. That's a priority right now. But we have seven major fires throughout the state that are burning. And we move our resources depending on the threat level to life and property, which is our priority, is to protect life, protect property.
This is going to be, I think, the hottest day, at least here in the Valley, Chief, all week. And we don't have a dramatic change in the weather pattern. What does that mean for the fire battle?
It makes it difficult. And we're already planning ahead. We're staffing additional equipment, not only here in Northern California, but we're seeing a heat wave statewide. So we're going to staff additional resources statewide, ready to respond. But anytime we see weather like this, what's going to come out of this is you're going to see anything from a fire weather watch all the way to red flag warnings in several areas across the state. So it is concerning and makes the firefight difficult, but we'll be prepared.
All right, Chief. I'm always glad to have a bit of your time, all things considered. So thanks very much for joining us again.
Thank you, Beth.
That is CAL FIRE Deputy Director of Communications Mike Moeller. By the way, we're going to post a link to the CAL FIRE webpage. There's so much information about all the individual fires across the state, and you can track the information that way. Now, though, let's change gears to CAP Radio reporter Bob Moffitt, who's joining us by phone. Hi, Bob. Why don't you tell me where you are and what's happening around you?
Well, I'm in Mariposa County, but I'm far enough away that I can see the entire smoke plume and the distance that the smoke has traveled from the Ferguson fire. And it's grown actually here in just the last half an hour or so to take up, probably about 100 degrees or so of visibility from my vantage point, which is pretty much right on the Mariposa Merced County line.
Did you make it into the park last night?
I did. Got there about dark and talked to some folks who were leaving, and even talked to one young man who warning be damned, he was gonna camp there, and so it was. Talked to people there, talked to people in Groveland, talked to more people down the hill. I just kind of talked to people as I made my way up the hill, which is maybe why it took me so long to get there.
Well, let's hear from one of those people. This is Jason Franks, who talked with Bob last night.
Makes sense. The valley was super smoky. There were points where it was, like, hard to see. Like, we went all the way close to half them, and we couldn't even really see it.
Bob, what kind of conditions did you experience in the park?
Well, at the very west side of the park, which is where the entrance is, there was no smoke whatsoever. It was a beautiful night, and the stars were out, and you'd never know that there was a fire. But once you head in, then the smoke starts to get thicker, and at a couple of spots, you can see the fire line on the ridge from the park. And then once you get into the valley floor itself, then it gets really thick. As Jason said, if you can barely see El Capitan, then there's obviously a visibility issue there.
So all visitors to the park were being told they would have to leave. The park would be closed today. Here's part of Bob's conversation with a woman named Lori Walker.
They told us that they were closing the park and they were kicking everybody out of the campground. And we said, "Is the fence the air quality?" And they said, "Yeah, but as we're driving out, you can see the fire burning on the ridge." Yeah, hopefully it doesn't go clear into the valley.
Nobody is sounding terrified, and I've heard some of your reports this morning, but when you can see fire on the ridge, I think it's a terrifying visual.
It is. The ridge, though, is also is the fire line that was identified early by fire crews as the place to stop this fire, and so they really hit that hard at the beginning. The thing is that fire goes uphill much more easily than it goes downhill. So if you get there and you set the fire line before it gets there, and in some cases burn the fuels between the fire line and the fire, which is what they're in the middle of doing now, then you can see it. But as long as you can keep it from jumping, then you've got a pretty good shot. And I did want to mention one quick thing yesterday from talking to Incident Command was that the bark beetle infestation has reared its ugly head again, in that some of the trees that are infested are falling. They're ripe for burning really hot and really fast, which doesn't help firefighters any. And then you've got the trees that are just falling across the containment lines, which is how apparently a couple of the breaches of containment lines have occurred.
You're listening to CAP Radio reporter Bob Moffitt. The Ferguson fire is still outside of the boundary of the Yosemite National Park. It's burned a little over 38,500 acres since it started July 13th. We're going to hear from one more person that you talked to, Bob. Do you want to set this man up? His name is Adam.
Oh, Adam was from Poland, and he and the family had come into Yosemite to spend the day. They were headed out anyway, so they weren't really upset with the timing of the closure, but certainly just like anybody else that went into the park yesterday, you know, the smoke made it very difficult to see.
Oh, actually, you know, this is a very beautiful national park, but of course the fire that we have somehow hindered our visit, you know.
Well, it's true for a lot of visitors. Sometimes this is their one glimpse in their lifetime. But at this point, it's a safety situation. Yosemite Valley and Wawona will be closed today at noon. And Bob, what are you hearing about how long the closure might last?
At least until Sunday. And it's a good news, bad news situation, really, when you think about it, is that, yeah, it thinks that they've got to close it until Sunday. But they've set a date, and with the increasing amount of containment that fire crews have had, that's a pretty good sign that they're hoping to have contained a lot more of it by that time, so that they will have a lot less smoke from actual, you know, forest fire, and it'll be more smoke from containment fires or backfiring as they try to burn the brush in between the fire lines and the encroaching fire.
And as we heard Chief Moeller say, they're at about 25-26% containment now. Okay, thanks so much for the report, Bob. Stay safe out there, and we'll listen for more later on in All Things
Sure.
Considered. That is CAP Radio reporter Bob Moffitt. He was talking to us from Yosemite Valley. And you know that we're in the midst of airing a podcast series called Yosemite Land. It is by CAP Radio's environment reporter Ezra Romero. Ezra's reporting looks at the future of firefighting in the Yosemite Valley. He's joining us by phone right now. He's actually attending a conference in Philadelphia. I don't think this is a story you expected to be talking about this week, was it, Ezra?
None at all, actually. I knew the fire was happening, but I didn't expect it to rear its head this far.
So for your podcast, you talked with Yosemite's fire chief. What did she have to say about fire in the park?
Yeah, so Kelly Martin, she's the first female fire chief of Yosemite. And, you know, we spoke a couple weeks ago before this fire even happened, and she basically said that, you know, a big fire was expected and that one could happen because of all the dead fuel on the ground in the park and outside of the park with all the dead trees and with about 100 years of suppression efforts. We've all talked about that in the past. There's just a lot of fuel on the ground. So she said, especially with last year, with all the rain that happened, there's a lot of growth that happened on that lower elevations. And that's sort of where this fire started, right at the lower elevation. And so it just kind of makes sense that we're seeing it, according to what she said.
But what we're seeing on a year-to-year basis is really much hotter summers and much warmer nights. And so what that does is it really increases the stress on the trees and the vegetation. So, you know, correlate that to climate change or not, what we are seeing absolutely, definitively, is that we are seeing hotter summers. And with that, hotter, drier summers just come with another layer of more dead trees and the mortality. And those fires that burn in August are much more severe.
Yes, as we're forecast to have over 105 degrees in the Sacramento area today. So Ezra, as with any fire that moves into big lands and protected lands, there's a question about whether to let it burn or not. What did she say about that dilemma?
You know, she said that's something that she is facing every day, and she wants to create a plan with Yosemite National Park and agencies around the area, Forest Service and CAL FIRE, to do more what they call prescribed burns, you know, in the off season when it's not fire season, burning parcels of land, maybe in small scale and large scales, to prevent these large scale wildfires, you know, because a huge swath of the forest in the Sierra Nevada need fire because it's a natural thing that happens and it helps regulate the forest. But with suppression, with a history and culture of suppressing fires, she said they're disservicing themselves, you know. So she would like to see more of these prescribed burns, but she said there should also, in some ways, these larger fires should be allowed to burn. But that brings up an issue because of visitors and people live in these areas, which is why we have, say, CAL FIRE on these big fires, preserving life and homes.
Well, in your podcast, I know you're going to look ahead to Yosemite in the future, the kind of trees, the kind of forest that might be there. But for now, in the interest of time, Ezra, if you kind of wrap this up and point us to where we can hear more in the podcast.
In next week's episode of Yosemite Land, we are going to talk about fire. We were going to talk about rock climbing next week, so that'll be pushed off to another week. But we figured with this big fire happening, this would be a key moment to hear more from Kelly Martin, to hear more from a UC Merced professor who's studying fire and climate change in the park, and to hear from reporters like Bob Moffitt and maybe someone else about what's currently happening. So we're going to go into a little bit of the history of fire and what scientists are thinking about the future of these places and how they're going to look.
Okay, Ezra, thanks for checking in with us, and we'll make sure to post a link to Yosemite Land, the podcast, at capradio.org/insight. Take care.
Thanks.
And again, Yosemite Valley and Wawona are closed at noon today, Wednesday, at least through Sunday. You can find a link to the latest from CAL FIRE at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.